Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. We spend a lot of time talking about how important it is to take care of your mental health. Therapy is an excellent way to do that. BetterHelp is an affordable mental health care option that fits right into your busy schedule. Just answer a few quick questions about your needs and preferences, and BetterHelp will match you with one of the thousands of experienced mental health professionals in their network. You can talk to your therapist over text, chat, phone, or video. You get to pick what works best for you, your comfort, and your schedule. If you feel like your therapist isn't the right fit, BetterHelp makes it easy to switch to someone new at no additional cost. So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. BetterHelp is offering our listeners 10% off their first month of therapy. Just go to betterhelp.com/musicspeaks to get started. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/musicspeaks to get 10% off your first month of therapy.
Like so many of you, we battle depression during life's many ups and downs.
Music has always been there to help us through the tough times that we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music.
Interview artists and bands.
Break down genres and music news.
Review artist biographies.
And much, much more.
You're listening to the Windward Fail Music Speaks Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Windward Fail Music Speaks Podcast, where we fight depression with the power of music. I'm handicapped host James Cox. I have another great interview today. His name is Daryl Stevens. He was born and raised in ATL, Atlanta, big ATL. And he has an app on your phone called Bass Parlor, and can't wait to talk about it. So I'm going to just get him on so we can chat right away. Welcome, Daryl, to the show.
I appreciate it. Like I said, I appreciate having me on. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
No, well, I am too, because we had to reschedule, so I do want to thank you one more time for rescheduling with us.
Okay, of course, yeah.
But like I said before, I couldn't find much about you, so I mean, I'm very interested to know more about you. So we're going to just do a lightning round, you know?
Okay,
So, first of all, I asked this through all my guests, and I think you know these two bands well enough because you're close to my age. I'm 45, you know.
My exact age. That's my exact age.
So we nice.
Exact
the same age. More than 1980, brother. Hell yeah.
Yeah, 79. Yeah. So I'm a little. I got you beat by a little bit. I'm 79.
Oh well, not by much. So if you were sitting in the car and a Beatles song came on. And you change the channel, and a Rolling Stones song came on. Which one would you stick with, Beatles song or a Rolling Stones?
I would say Rolling Stones. I'm not a huge into either of them. I know that the Beatles, I like more Rolling Stones songs than I like Beatles songs.
Yeah. Which is the exact opposite I always get, because I always get like Beatles is the number one thing that everybody gravitates towards. But I do respect a lot from the Rolling Stones. I mean, they have had a great career and great years with great albums, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing. So who is your favorite artist right now?
My favorite artist of all time.
Yeah.
Right now I have to be, I'm a big David Gray fan. He just came out with a new album. He's a guy from England.
Right.
I like his music of all time. It would be Curtis Mayfield. Combination of his just the music itself, the musicality of everything, like how he brings in all the different strings,
right,
horns, what do you call that, drums and percussion, and the lyrics too, very, very positive lyrics, very revolutionary lyrics. So I'll say of all time, it would probably be Curtis Mayfield. Lately, in the past 5 years, maybe David Gray. I'm always a huge Outkast fan, of course, but they haven't come out with anything new in a while. Yeah, I think those three, those are probably top three right there.
Well, I mean, you can't beat them, you know. I heard that Wu-Tang is coming out with a new record this year or something.
Are they really? Yeah. I know they just came out a new single. I know that I was a huge Wu-Tang fan back in the 90s, you know.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm sort of upset that they can't release their latest album in for like 80 more years or something. It's
crazy. Oh, really? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, because apparently they signed a deal with some record companies saying that they can't release the album until 80 more years or
Oh,
something. 80 years,
wow.
yeah. So,
Wow. I hope they got paid from that if they can't release it.
so hopefully they won't do that to us this time. So
Yeah, really. I remember with Wu-Tang, speaking of Wu-Tang, I remember when they came out with their second album. And I was, this is, back in Atlanta, this is back when we had record stores and everything,
Oh
and Towers Records. And I said,
Towers,
I remember staying out till 12 o'clock on Monday night with like a group of us, stayed out till they released their song. Because back then, Tuesday was like the album release day. So we stayed at and stayed up till 12 so they can just give us, we can buy the album at 12:01 a.m. on Tuesday morning. Yeah.
Because I had Tower Music, Waxy Maxy's Suncoast. Suncoast was a big one for me because my dad, as a retired colonel, we lived in all the states, and Suncoast was everywhere. And Waxy Maxy was a few places, but nothing like Suncoast. So yeah. Okay, so you were born and raised in ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. How is the music scene there? Because I know it was buzzing for a while, got really kind of like vaguely like gone. They came back.
Oh, it came out strong. It came back in full effect. Yeah, it came back strong now. So it's huge now. It's huge. Yeah. So I grew up here. We had some. It wasn't. I wouldn't say a huge music scene, but we had a solid music scene growing up, like in the 80s and 90s. 90s started getting pretty big. Like without 90s, when you had Goodie Mob, you had Outkast, you had a lot of some alternative groups here. And this started really getting big in the 2000s. You had like late 90s, early 2000s, when you had a lot of hip hop came out of here, a lot of R&B came out of here, especially with like TLC. Then you had SWV. You had like a lot of big groups out here, and they just kept getting bigger. Like the pop and hip hop and the R&B really had like a really strong hold here in Atlanta. So Atlanta's really good because you got like a melting pot of a lot of different kind of styles and cultures here. Like the Afro beat scene started to get really big. Of course, hip hop has been pretty big. R&B's been pretty big. You got a pretty good alternative rock scene out here too in Atlanta.
You
That's
got
really
everything
good.
on one place, which is great,
Everything all in one place. Miami's not too far away, not too far of a flight away. Nashville's it's a drive away. So you can touch every little thing. I spent a lot of time Washington, D.C. too. So
Well, Washington is an amazing city, but it's busy, because
yeah. Oh yeah.
my dad worked at
Absolutely.
the Pentagon for years, and he hated going
Okay.
traveling, because we lived in Woodbridge. And he had to go to the Pentagon, and he's like every day he hated his job, commuting, because drivers can't drive anymore, man. I don't know how it is like that right now, but it's terrible.
Especially in DC and Atlanta. Like, those are
Oh
two of the
my
cities
God,
where
dude, yeah, it's crazy, it's crazy, it's crazy. But okay, so you went to Full Sail University.
I went there after so I graduated undergrad at Georgia State. So I actually have a long story. So I started off at University of Central Florida. I played baseball at University of Central Florida, transferred from there to Georgia Southern, senior year in sports. So you get 4 years of eligibility in sports. So I started off at UCF, Central Florida, University of Central Florida, transferred to Georgia Southern for my senior year in sports. And then I still had, because I changed majors and changed my school, I still had like a little time left to actually graduate. So then I transferred to Georgia State back here in Atlanta, finished up the undergrad at Georgia State. And when I stopped playing baseball, I had to have something to kind of grab that passion, So I was used to, like, growing up, I thought I was going to be a professional baseball player, Major League Baseball player. So when I didn't get drafted, I was like, okay, what can I go to with that same passion that I have for baseball? And for me, it was music. And that's when I decided, okay, I'm gonna go down to Full Sail, which is at that time, now it's got like a master's program and everything. By the
Yeah,
time
Full
I
Sail is
went,
amazing.
they got a whole big campus and everything. Now I went back in the mid 2000s when it was just a
It was
couple
just getting
programs
started.
down there.
Just getting started. But I thought you wanted to play football, but baseball was your passion first, right?
Baseball's my passion for sure.
Football wasn't even a thought.
I mean, I played a year. I think I played a year of Pop Warner. Then I played high school for. Actually, I played a high school up until I played spring football. Got the starting wide receiver position. Then I quit because I didn't want to get injured for baseball. So baseball is always my number one sport.
Got it.
But I played football like Pop Warner for a year and played like high school for a year basically. And it was It was fun. It was fun, but baseball is always my number one
Oh
sport.
yeah. Yeah, baseball is always fun, yeah.
Yeah.
So but at EA Sports, you were the musical director, right? Or
I wasn't a
the head?
director. I wasn't that right. Actually, I
Okay.
started off as an intern. So I started off. So it's a crazy story there. So
Yeah.
I worked my way up, and was hired by them. But I wasn't a director. I left before I got to that level.
Okay.
So yeah, out of Full Sail, I thought I was gonna go at a go, you know, work at a recording studio, but I really got into video game music.
Yes,
So yeah, I got really big into that. And then so they had a program they had just started at Full Sail where it was a student video game program. So they could make the games, like the student games, but they didn't have anybody to do the audio. So I did all the sound effects for it, like wrote the music for some of these student games, did some of the like voiceover work. I mean, my first one I worked on was like a pirate game. So I did a voiceover pirate. Like Eric. Yeah, exactly. And I should have got you. We could have done
We can
that
chat. I'm free, so if you ever want to hire me, man, I'm doing
together.
nothing. I'm making this $10 an hour. I'll
All
bet I can use more
right.
money, man. But
But yeah,
so
so oh, go ahead.
So I imagine you did some work for Madden Football too,
I did, yeah, I
or
did.
okay,
So when
okay.
I worked at EA Sports, I worked on Madden Football and NCAA Football. Those are two games I worked on. And it was fun. Like, so Madden, I was a huge Madden player. I remember in college, all
Yes,
we did was play college football and Madden. Those are the two games we play usually. And
that's
we play like a
it.
baseball game, but
That's
like
it,
those are the main two. So to be able to work on both of those games was awesome. I loved it. So yeah, I did a lot of the you know, some of the they usually have actual artists, songs from artists that for those games, but they have to have like little clips and stuff like that for the music. Worked on some of those music clips, worked on a lot of the sound effect stuff, and then some a lot of the dialogue had to mix and master all that stuff too.
I imagine you had a blast working there, because I
It
mean,
was fun,
who else can do that? Besides you and like I guess like four other people, doing what you do,
Exactly. That was our team. We had a small audio team, small, like it was like basically like five people. So you're right, it's like me and four other people. So it's a small team and we got along really well. A great director, guy named Aubrey Hodges, he was a great audio director at the time there. And so it was a really good time. And you know, being in Orlando in Florida, so it was based in well, the EA Sports is based in California, I think Redwood City or Redwood Shores, whatever city it is. But they had the where I worked at was in Orlando. And they just worked on the Madden and the NCAA. And you know, Orlando is like a really laid back city. So going to work with, and especially in the video game industry. So going to work in flip flops and shorts and everything was really cool.
Nice. Well, I imagine you said you were a gamer way back when, and I guess you still are, but
Not so much now. Not so much
Not
now.
but okay, so we gotta get into this before we talk about baseball. My friend wants me to ask somebody, and I'm since you work with him, so he wanted me to ask, why are game developers so lazy now? Because it seems to be like glitches everywhere, every year they come up with the same thing. I don't know if but I that's one of the get that out of that thing, because it seems like they're
That's interesting.
really not, not their passion has lost their they have lost their passion for making games now,
Okay. That's interesting. I haven't game actually working there. I haven't played games since I left EA Sports. I was a big game and then I got burnt out on it doing that day after day after day. So I haven't, but I can tell you at EA Sports, they I'm sure like they had a whole team that did like testing. They had a whole entire testing team. So I don't maybe some of the games he's playing, maybe that video game company may
Well,
not
see,
have a
back then it was A plus games. Now it's just like all like they glitches everywhere, and it's like, and it feels like the same games you hear every year. They're just different people, so I don't know. That was his gripe, and I'm like, okay, well, I'll
Gotta
ask
throw that in
somebody.
there. Yeah,
There
I'm
we
sorry.
go.
I didn't disappoint him. I don't answer that one. I don't answer
No, don't stay away from that.
that.
But it's d deep into your base parlor. Okay, so was bass your first instrument that you played, or like did you have? I mean, like how did you come up with
The
bass
name. So
parlor? Yeah.
basically, actually, what's funny is like we don't even, it's not even only bass players that go to bass parlor. So when I was thinking bass, and I didn't grow up playing this. That's actually one of my biggest regrets. I didn't grow up playing an instrument at all.
Oh yeah.
So bass for bass parlor is like more like bass treble, more instead
Oh,
of a bass player,
perfect. Yeah,
like
perfect. Yeah.
bass notes.
Right.
But yeah, everybody, that's a common question everybody has. If you play bass, like, how'd you come up with the name bass part? I just always liked, like, for me, bass is like you could feel it. You know, you hear a song, it has a lot of bass. It's got a texture, it's got a feeling, like a presence to it. And then I always like the name. I always like the word parlor for like a lounge or like a place where people gather. And so yeah, that's why I can't I just put those two things together, a bass parlor, like a lounge that you feel that you have a lot of presence in that lounge. That's
Well,
why.
bass is like the backbone of music all the time, you know, because if you have no
Absolutely.
bass, then what's the point of playing music, man? You know, that's great. That's great.
True.
That's great.
True.
So, okay, so I downloaded the app today and I just signed online and I can't help but I want to say thank you for making this app, you know, because
Oh, I appreciate
I
it.
okay, so I'm a recently new music producer, you know.
Okay.
I produce some music. I produce like three songs. And like you said, you don't have to play bass or guitar. It's for everybody, you know.
Right.
And it's for
Absolutely.
artists, producers, writers, songwriters, you know.
Songwriters, you have
It's,
engineers.
I don't know if this is going to fit you, but it's sort of like a Tinder profile, right? You
A
swipe
little
in
bit.
every, it's a little bit like a dating app, you know, for musicians, you know, right?
Similar. It's similar. Like we don't like you don't swipe right and swipe
No,
left
no,
like
no.
you would intended. Yeah, but everybody's got their own profile. You can go check people's profile, you can send them a message. What's cool now is you can also like go live and host your own workshop. And then you can
Because that's
attend. Yeah.
and that's the newest update for your for the bass parlor. Yes, you start doing these live shows, right?
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. Yep. So anybody can go and do either attend as an attendee, someone else's workshop. And this is all musicians here in this in the bass parlor. So it's like, you know, you might like for instance, you just started producing. So you might want to say go to a workshop on music production. Or, you know, how to mix down a song that you produced or mix down a beat that you produced. And so they have all these, you know, you have these workshops you can join, and then you can join and then you can host your own workshops too. And our latest thing is you can also start charging for the workshops that you host, you know. So what I'm trying to do is provide musicians with another revenue stream outside of their streams, like the, you know, the song album streams and merchandise. You can also monetize your knowledge, your music knowledge, and music experience.
I like that because a lot of people still don't understand that musicians get a lot of money from their merchandise.
Exactly.
If
Yep.
you upload your songs to Spotify, Apple Music, I mean it's like pennies on a dollar,
Yeah.
and I'm
Yeah.
sure you've heard that the
Yeah.
beginning of that, you know.
Yeah, and they're making it like kind of like we were talking about in the beginning of the conversation, like back when they were selling physical like CDs or tapes or records, whatever it was, but they were selling stuff physical. The artists were making a lot more money off album sales than they are now off streams. So a lot of times, like for the huge artists, you know, they're still making millions. But for the independent artists, a lot of times they have to try to supplement this, you know, their money, their revenue with other ways. Because they're not making quite as much as they would have back in the past. So now they can supplement that with app like Bass Parlor.
So I'm looking. I'm not ignoring you. I'm just looking at your website. It's the base pro app that come for anybody who wants to go there. So I see that you have a collab camp. Now this is in Atlanta physically. I mean, for people come into camp and learn from you and who else is in your? Hold on, just a minute. Got it right here.
Yeah, it's in Atlanta. It's in Atlanta physically, but they all the workshops and everything, it's not based in Atlanta. It's all through your app. So you attend the workshops, you host the workshops all through the Bass Parlor app. So you can do it from anywhere. Like we have a lot of people in the app that are from other countries, all over the place, all over the world, really. So you don't have to, but we're physically based in Atlanta, like we're headquartered in Atlanta, but like no one has to come to Atlanta in order to attend the workshop or host the workshop. They do that from their own home.
But you have Skyle Reid as a songwriting coach and Prince Ella
Right, so that's
as your
a
music producer.
yeah, so that's a little different. That's a off that's something we do for so we partner with some of the schools here in Atlanta, and that's a separate like initiative that we're doing where we will partner with some schools, and then what we'll do is we'll teach the kids how to produce, how to write songs at a school. And so that's more of like a little side initiative that we do here at Paul. That's not the main thing, but that's something that we do with some of the local high schools here in Atlanta.
Right. Yeah. And the baseball opened in 2018, right? And
Well, the
so
baseball studios there. So like we have a long,
studios,
yeah. So before we were an app, we're actually a actual studio in Atlanta. And then we opened in 2018. And we had, you know, a lot of things we were doing on the app at that time, we were doing at the studio. So we had like a shared workspace for musicians. We had like weekly workshops for musicians. We had obviously a recording studio. We had like a monthly showcase. And we were almost like a hub for independent musicians in Atlanta. And then we were growing a huge fan base, and then COVID hit. And then when COVID hit, you know, yeah, we had to shut down the studio. But you know, we saw the need that musicians had for, you know, teaching each other, collaborating, finding, you know, people to work with, finding people to train them, finding to train to mentor. Like this is a community. And so we said, okay, what we did at the actual studio, we can now create an app and do that for the users in the app. But instead of being just for the Atlanta musicians, instead of just being focused on Atlanta, we can now like spread out and impact musicians around the world. So yeah.
Well, with this app, what unique perspectives do you see these collaborations bring to the industry? Do you see it for well, I guess it's for the better because anytime you create music, it's a wonderful thing, right?
I think there's a couple things. I think one, it raises the level of music, because I just know from, you know, I have a background in music production, and I just know from when I work with other collaborators, I don't do so much production now. But at the time, it was a time where I was really, really heavy into it. And when I worked with other people, it raised the whole level of the music. Even and I didn't think it would, but just collaborating with somebody, being open to ideas, sharing ideas, and the whole experience is much more fruitful. That's one, I think it raised the level of music. And two, it kind of changed the mindset of a more, instead of like, I gotta do this, I gotta, you know, make it by myself. I don't need anybody to help me. It changed the mindset where, okay, we're doing this together. We're collaborating. This is a group effort. And the whole vibe of the creation process is different when you used to doing it with somebody else, or as a team, I should say.
How has developing this app changed your relationship with music? And I think it's for the better for you because it's like if someone creates music through this app, music is here to stay. Well, music is always going to be here to stay, you know.
Right. Oh
But
yeah, definitely. Definitely.
has that relationship changed with music or made it so much better for you?
It was changed. Like one thing has changed is I try to think from the perspective of independent musicians more, instead of what I personally need. What is it that most independent musicians need, or what is it that they can help them in their journey? Even if my journey was different, what am I seeing out there that helps them in their journey? And that's one of the reasons that came out of actually with the workshops, you know. So helping musicians get other revenue streams through monetizing their knowledge. So just I'm always thinking ways now, you know, as a business owner and as a founder of the app, is how can I help musicians, instead of like what's my personal journey and how can I get ahead with my personal journey. It's always thinking throughout the community, the music community as a whole. That's one thing. I have a lot less time to produce now than I used to, and
Yeah, you need to get
to
back
make
to it, brother.
music. I want to get back to it, you know. And I
For
always have
sure.
it. It's not even like, I just love learning about music theory, different instruments, how they work, you know, how they intertwine with each other. I don't have quite as much time to just study it anymore and just play around with it. That's one thing. But as far as like my relationship with music as a whole, I always try to think from perspective of the people that I'm serving.
And I guess that's good because, well, I guess you I so you don't have any time to sit down and teach yourself guitar or bass or something, you know, because I thought about it. I mean, I got a PRS and I got a Jackson right back there, and I
Okay,
and
yeah, I see it.
that's always been there ever since I moved in last year, you know. And I'm like, damn it, I want to learn how to do this, but I don't, you know, it's the mind, you know. For you, is it the mind control thing that's messing with you, or you just literally don't have time, you know, because you have this amazing business that you own?
I just literally don't have time. So, but I do in the morning, I do try to spend like 30 minutes like this playing. playing piano, learning some different things, trying to put together some chord progressions and stuff like that, just to get my mind started, just to get like, I like to start my day creative and start doing like just messing around on keyboard or like looking at a tutorial on something new on a progression that I don't know, or just messing around. I try to start my day with that, but I don't have the time as much to get heavy into it and really create.
Because I hear a lot of times, oh, you just need 10 minutes a day, every day, 10 minutes a day, and you'll be playing guitar, piano, this and that within like a year. I'm like, man, that's so easy. But then again, time is involved. 10 minutes sounds like 20 minutes to me. I'm like, I don't know, because I got to go to work. I got to do this and everything.
Yeah, that's my problem too. Like I just know, and I start down the line. Like I have to cut myself off at 30 minutes. Otherwise, like you said, it's gonna keep going. The next thing you look up, and it's like 3 hours later, and you're like, "Oh, are you kidding me?" But I'm like
But
you. Like I get so into it, time just flies by when
yeah,
I'm
I
playing
mean,
with
it
all
just
music.
shoots. When I listen to music, man, I mean, the time just flies,
Definitely.
even by myself. I'm like, damn, it's time for me to go to bed. I don't want
Yeah.
to, I want to
Yep.
listen to some great music. But I'm going to take that back to the app. And you know as well as I do, musicians are very, they're very, what's the word? They want everything to be perfect, right?
Yeah, like
And
perfectionist for sure.
be a perfectionist, thank you, sir. And they're afraid of reaching out to other artists, right? So what do you think is the most crucial piece of advice for musicians who are on the app but are hesitant to reach out and collaborate with them? Is there some kind of like advice you can tell them to like ease their mind, about reaching out and collaborating with?
I think that just know everybody on the app is wanting the same thing. No one in on the app, and I purposely create a culture of like collaboration and giving and not competition. Because it's just like there's no everybody's just they're trying to get better, is trying to elevate their game. There's people of all different levels and all different like skill sets on the app. And some people are there to learn, some people are there to teach and share knowledge. But everybody is there for the same thing, but just for the sake of making good music and just loving what they do. So no one is just trying to like compete with each other. There's no one in there just trying to compete. And just keep that in mind. So when you reach out to somebody, they'll be open to reach out to you, and then you never know where that relationship would go. You never know where that what relationship slash friendship would go,
I would say people get the word collaboration and something else could be, because collaboration means working together. It's not going against anybody, So I don't
For
understand
sure.
why. Well, I do understand why they are what kind of hesitant to reach out, Does she want to work with me? No. Okay. Well, I'm a nobody now. It's like the mind message with your head. So,
And I think that's probably, not everybody's extroverted, not everybody. And so some people, and I understand that too. I'm not the most extroverted person myself, but I think when you remind yourself when users on the app can remind themselves that look, no one here is judging you. No one here is like I said, it's not a competitive nature on the app. Everybody's trying to do what's best for music or what's best for their career, but also in the sense or in the mind frame of helping other people too. And these are all and I also. I purposely made a musician to musician because it's like a safe spot. It's like a safe haven for people because you don't have to worry about trying to impress fans or try to bring on the new fans and stuff like that. You just hear everybody here is a musician to up their game. And you don't have to put on a front to try to get new fans and stuff like that. This is like talking shop with other people who are doing the same thing that you're doing.
Plus, you're over the internet. You don't have to meet them face to face. You can
Yeah,
quote
true.
you can always, text them or something,
Yeah,
and I think
exactly.
that, and that, and I think that's that because most people are fearful of what they think when you're standing right there, how you're playing, and everything. So that's awesome, yeah. Going through this collaboration question though, can you have you seen where the collaboration resulted in a very ex unexpected outcome where it's for the better? I mean,
I've definitely seen that. And I've seen that a lot in person too, because we also do a lot of in-person workshops and I mean in-person showcases where we bring people together. And I've seen that a lot. So I used to have actually a series that we did on the Bass Parlor YouTube channel called the Bass Parlor Mashup, where we used to bring in an artist and a producer or an artist and instrumentalist. They never met each other before, and we gave them an hour to create a brand new song from scratch. And we just recorded the process of them getting together, meeting each other, coming up with a song idea, and creating the song just off the bat like that. And we gave them 1 hour. We had like a little countdown, and they knew they just had 1 hour to do it. And we had 3 seasons of that, and probably over 20 episodes. And it was incredible to see. Like, a lot of times that song that they created in just 1 hour, they would end up putting it on their album. One of them would end up putting it on their album. They would record like a cleaner version of it, but the like 90% of it was done in that session, you know. So I've seen a lot of great combos come from from just getting in there in the studio and or in the app, connecting with each other and doing it. And sometimes we need to bring people together who connected on the app. And so it's really good. So you, like I said, you never know when you collab with somebody if y'all just hit it off and create. And like the thing I loved about it is a lot of times the great teams and the great pairings I saw were completely different genres. And I purposely had different genres. Like one time I had like a bass guitar, like a rock bass guitarist and a poet come together. And they made a really, really fire track. It was tight. And they had a then I had a singer songwriter, but she was like more like an acoustic folk type singer songwriter. Who's Tracy, like a Tracy Chapman type.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Tracy Chapman, someone like that. With the hip hop producer. And so they came up with something really interesting. I always purposely paired people with completely different styles and genres, you know? And that's some of the best pairings that I've seen.
I guess you try to take it outside their element, you know, because when you are so focused on what you do all the time, you're like, you kind of get tired of it, you know, just like redundantly, you know. Yeah.
Exactly.
And I guess that's what you felt working at eSports. You did the same thing over and over, and I'm like, I gotta get out, man. I gotta keep doing my music, you know?
Okay, I gotta
Awesome.
stop playing these video games.
All right. You know, and I gotta get to learning music, man. But this has been great. So I do have about like three more questions for you, and we'll let you go. So Daryl Stevens at 17, 14 years old, okay? We're looking in your bedroom. He's looking around the room. Is there any musical posters on his wall at 14, 15?
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. So
Okay.
I had, of
Just one.
course, I had Wu-Tang Clan.
Right, yeah, well,
I
yeah.
was a big Red Man fan. So Wu-Tang Clan, Red Man. My first one, it wasn't when I was 14, 17, it was more when I was a kid. I used to have a huge Michael Jackson poster on the wall. I used to be a huge Michael Jackson fan. Who else did I have at that time? I used to, it was really cutouts of back in the day they used to have a magazine called The Source. So it would be cutouts of artists from The Source. I know Biggie was on there. I was a big Biggie fan. I was a big Nas fan, Outkast. So I used to constantly, so when I had a new, like every month or like probably every month, I used to switch out the pictures that I got. So I used to get a magazine, cut out some of the ones I want, put on the wall. So, but those are some of the big ones. Those are some of the big ones.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but Redman did a shout out you on your Instagram page, right? Or is that
Yeah, he
somebody else?
did.
Nice.
He did.
Yeah, you let
He was one of my favorite artists growing up, and he did. I was psyched about that for sure.
Now was that like a collaboration with them, or did you just reach out to them and say, hey, you know?
No, it was like a collaboration with him. So I reached out and sent a thing about the Bass Parlor app. Sent him a thing about the Bass Parlor app. So I didn't know if he was going to view it or not. So he viewed it, and then he gave me a shout out on the thing. I was happy.
Because most people say don't meet your heroes, but sometimes it's like, man, I gotta meet Redman, you know, it's so great, you know. So
So it was tight. It was
two
really
more
tight.
questions, for you, sir. Four people are on Mount Rushmore, okay? Who is your Mount Rushmore of music?
Musicians, this is
Musicians,
the great, like the greatest of all time, or my favorite.
your personal favorite of all time. Who are who are
Personal, my
your
personal favorites. Wow, that's a
four
tough one.
four your main four main four We can do
Wow.
five of them if we need to, but four
Okay.
is
I can bring it down four, I think. Let me go Curtis Mayfield.
Right.
He's one.
Actually, he's right behind you. You got the record.
Yep.
Yeah,
Superfly
dude.
soundtrack right
There you
there.
go. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Superfly soundtrack.
Superfly.
Yep. So Curtis Mayfield would be one. Man, just because he just to me he's a musical genius. Andre 3000 of Outkast
Right.
will be another one. He's to me like he has the most genuine raps of anybody I've ever heard. This is
Right.
very genuine, you know. I mean, his flow is already to me sick, but as far as like lyrics, he's to me his lyrics are the most timeless. It's the most genuine and true to who he is. David Gray, I mentioned him earlier. David Gray, just because I like his. If I was to study songwriting, I would study David Gray. His imagery when he writes songs,
Right.
you know, really is just him playing piano or him playing guitar, but the imagery of the lyrics and the how he explains things. Sometimes I hear him word a certain thing. You know, mostly he talks about love and life issues and stuff like that. But how he words it sometimes is like, oh, I wish I had thought of that. I wish I
Right.
had thought of wording it
Wish,
like that, or
yeah.
like that's a feeling that I had. I just didn't know how to articulate it. You know, he's really good at doing that. So that's four. That's three. That's
That's
three.
three. You got one more. Those are all three great picks, man. Yeah, so you're, yeah, one more.
I might have to go with Stevie Wonder. I might have to go with Stevie Wonder. This music is just timeless. Yeah, I
Yeah.
think. Yeah, it's just like he's got it's a lot of his songs that aren't like his early stuff. Like I'm not a big fan of 60s music, but I love 70s music. So his early stuff is a little too boppy for me, a little too
Yeah.
bubblegum for me. But when he gets in the pocket, he had a run in the 70s, like Songs in the Key of Life and all, it was just like, man, he's incredible. So maybe Stevie Wonder might be. I feel like I forget a lot of people.
Yeah, see, that's what it is. It's like you've got four and you can't decide which one, because I know as soon as you hang up from this call, you're like, damn, I should have said this guy, that guy. Always good. Yeah.
So I'm gonna go with those four. I'm gonna go with those four.
Nice. Well, you can't beat that four. That's a great four. So we got one more question, and this is going to be the hardest question for you right now.
Okay.
Okay, so you have one artist, album, or singer that you can listen to personally, but after you hear that whoever, whichever one it is, you can't tell me, your family, your friends, how it makes you feel deep inside your soul. Who and what would that be?
That when I hear it, I can't tell them. I can't tell you all.
It's so ingrained in your soul, you just can't express how it makes you feel. Yeah.
Wow, that is a tough one. That's a tough question.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Man, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
I would have to say, shoot. I would have to say maybe Erykah Badu's Baduism.
Got it.
That's
Got it.
a that was a
That's
heavy
a
album.
power. Yeah. Very, very powerful too. Yeah. Yeah.
That was a really powerful album, and it was just like every it was just everything flowed into the next song. I remember when it came out. I think it was a freshman in college. It was either a freshman in college or a senior in high school, and I just listened to it nonstop on repeat. And I was like, I had never heard that style of music before. Like she was on a cutting edge, what they call neo soul.
Yeah.
So it was just like it was the first of that lane, her and like D'Angelo. But yeah, I might say Baduism.
I do.
That hit me
Okay.
pretty
Yeah.
hard.
Yeah. But that's a perfect response because it moves you, and I can't, you can't explain it to me, So that's perfect. Yeah. That's perfect. Yeah. Because that's what I wanted, because I went into your response to be raw, I didn't want to, So thank you for that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh,
So
yeah.
Mr. Daryl Stevens is on. It's on the internet, all over the internet on baseparkapp.com. He's on Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. So make sure you follow him on those sites. And you can download his app, Bass Parlor, And it's free, but you can't upgrade to a 99 cents per month to get more features. Am I correct?
$2.99 a month, more
$2.99. Okay,
features. Yeah.
I thought I'd have read 99 cents, but that's okay.
That's all right.
$2.99
It's all
ain't
right.
bad. Yeah, and I guess you get to clever with even more if you upgrade or
If
like
you
I
upgrade to
assume
the
so. No.
premium, you get to monetize your workshops that you throw. So as a premium member, if you throw a workshop, if you decide to host a workshop, you can decide you can charge for that workshop if you want to.
Okay.
And then you can also download that workshop to your phone and then, share it on YouTube or, put it on YouTube or share it on Instagram or TikTok, whatever you want to do. So premium members do that. And also you get highlighted as a premium member too. So when people
Okay.
look for different collaborators, they'll see your name and your picture first. So a
Right.
lot of times the premium members get a lot more messages and stuff like
Right.
that
Right.
than a regular
Yeah.
member.
I mean, 2 times, you can't go wrong, right? Yeah.
Can't go wrong. Yep.
And right now you only work with Venmo, right? You don't work with PayPal yet or Cash App yet. It's only through Venmo.
Oh, they can use the depending on if you have Android
Okay.
or iPhone. You can use Apple Pay to pay like
Yeah,
to if you want to
okay.
do that, or you can we use pretty much everything. So a lot of times with
Okay.
Google, you can use Google Pay, and with iPhone, Apple Pay,
Okay.
for to paying for the workshops that you want to attend if you couldn't make it live. So how it works basically is it's free to attend live, and then if you want to access a video of a workshop of a one you could attend live for free, you can also pay for it if that user, that host decides he wants to charge for it.
Right.
Some of them just
Okay.
make it free also.
Yeah.
So
Right. Yeah.
yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
Well, Mr. Darrell, I love you to death, and I thank God you come back anytime you want to,
Oh, thank you,
and just
sir.
talk about music. And I do have one more question for you, but that's all air, so stay
Okay.
around here for
Okay.
just a minute. So, I just want to thank you again, and everybody, download the Bass Part app and follow them on Instagram, Facebook, and you're on Facebook too, right?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Facebook,
Okay.
Instagram, everything. I'm on everything.
YouTube and LinkedIn. So we do honestly thank you, and we welcome you back anytime you want. Okay.
All right, thank you, Jess. I appreciate it. Enjoy the conversation.
Thank you so much, sir. And with that said, everybody listening, always remember, when words fail, music speaks. Hi, guys.